Not only is it today a great day because of Family Worship Sunday and All Saints Day, we're going to continue today to flesh out the vision of partnership that Centerpoint is entering into with the Mesoamerica region and the establishment that's taking place down there for the Center of Missionary Formation and the Genesis Project. If you were not here last Sunday, and that was a lot of you, okay, I think last Sunday must have been like National Campout Weekend or like National Let's Just Not Be at Church Weekend. So it's good to have you back. My name's Pastor Dwayne. Good to see you. Yeah. So if you weren't here last Sunday, please, I don't do this often, but I'm going to do it this week. Please go online to our YouTube channel. Kevin Davison is up in the loft. He is so good about getting our messages online on YouTube so we can stay connected even when we're not able to be here. And last week, I got to share the vision of a future partnership between Centerpoint and the Mesoamerica region, which is Mexico, Central America, some South American countries, and the islands. I got to share about the trip that your pastoral staff and some other leaders took to the Dominican Republic back in August and what this is going to look like for us. And so a lot of information there. And if you weren't here last week, we need you to be clued in on that because there's a couple of different mission trip opportunities coming up in 2019. One which is very close in February, and we're going to be hoping to send two teams of 20 down in February and in August to be a part of all that's going on down there. Well, this morning we're going to continue that conversation, and we are so blessed. I'm so excited to have AJ and Chelsea Fry with us. AJ and Chelsea are missionaries on the ground in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, and just want to introduce them, and I might tell you something that's incorrect, and they can correct me. AJ largely serves as essentially the project manager for the Center of Missionary Formation. He is on the ground every day in the construction site for what's going to be happening when they break ground in January. And currently, he is the project manager for the home that they are building on the seminary campus that will house future teams. And Chelsea is the one who makes it happen. And so she's going to bring the word for us today. She's in charge of the teams that come down. So she was in charge of our teams as we got to go. And I asked them by way of bio information, like, what do you want me to share? And she said, don't write this down. But here's the deal. They're going to be in Florida for a month, all right? They don't have anything else going on. But here's what we know. We know they love ice cream. We know they love Pom Pom's Tea House and a lot of other restaurants here in the Orlando area. And the exact quote from Chelsea was, we will be anywhere if somebody wants to buy us a meal. And I think what that means is, if you would like to hear more about the DR and the Center for Missionary Formation and the Genesis Project and all God's doing, come on, invite them, take them to Pom Pom, take them out for some ice cream. And was that embarrassing enough?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I'm so excited to have you guys. Let's pray real quick, and I'm going to turn the mic over. God, thank you so much for this beautiful couple, for the ministry that you have called them to. God, for the reality of packing up and leaving everything they knew here in Florida to say yes to your call on their lives. God, we pray that you continue to expand their territory and be incredible providers for them in the days ahead. God, we pray for their partnership with the Armstrongs and other leadership on Mesoamerica, that those would be incredible relationships that are life-giving in both directions. God, strengthen their marriage through this time. Give them peace through this time. And God, we pray that these couple of months they have in the States to raise awareness and raise funds for the future, God, would be incredibly fruitful. And that Centerpoint will play the part that you're calling us to, not only for them, but for the entire Mesoamerica region and all the people of God that are there. We love you, Lord. We give you this time, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. And let's welcome the Fries.
Dios les bendiga. And all God's people said? Amen. Okay, so we're going to try that again. In the Dominican Republic where we live, the appropriate greeting when people greet is Dios les bendiga, and it means God bless you. So I'm going to do it again, and the appropriate response to it is a big, loud amen. You guys are kind of quiet, so we're going to try it again. All right, ready? Dios les bendiga. Woo! Yes! Awesome! Great! Okay, so this morning, my name's Chelsea, and this is AJ, and we're just going to pretend he's not there. And keep going with our life. Sound good? Just kidding. I love that guy. So we'll acknowledge him. Feel free to watch him as he paints. This morning, I'm going to share a message of faith And I'm actually going to move this because I will walk too much if I don't. So we're going to talk about faith. You've probably talked about faith quite a bit in your journey of your relationship with God. That is something that the people of God get to talk about a lot. And that is exciting. But I want to start with, last week was our 1 week out of 3 months where we did not share the message. So it's kind of fun. We got to go, we were in Kansas City, we got to go to a service and just participate, get to sit back. My best friend is the children's pastor there, and so it was really fun to just see her in her element. I don't get to see her be a pastor very often. And as we were worshiping, now this is not a dig on the worship pastor, please do not quote this. But the worship pastor said, God doesn't want very much of you. He just needs a little bit. And that did not sit well with me. Because I believe that God asks for everything. And I don't believe it's easy. But I'm a really big extrovert and people person, and I'm a little bit on the hyper scale. And I believe that in the midst of this hard, dig in deep, give everything, that because God is faithful, we can have joy. Amen? So that's the kind of faith I want to talk about today. I want to talk about a faith that requires you to do something. So I'm going to give you a spoiler alert right now. Okay? Look, I even made a graphic for it. I am going to ask you at the end of our time this morning to physically get up and do something. All right? I'm telling you now because I know some of you are thinking, oh, the missionary is speaking. She's going to speak for 45 minutes. And you're going to take a nap. I see you. I don't care how bright these lights are. So I'm telling you now, put your tennis shoes on, get ready, nudge your neighbor. You don't want to be the person that doesn't know what's going on at the end of this thing. Right? And we are going to talk about God's faithfulness in the story of Genesis. And so I have asked Andy to come up and help me read this story this morning. The story of Noah is not typically a story that missionaries talk about. It's also not one that we spend a lot of time up here talking about because you covered it for 14 years back in children's church, correct? But I didn't grow up in the church. And so I want to talk about Noah this morning, and you guys let me take over, so sorry. But Andy's going to come up here and read this wonderful story for me. It's Genesis 6 through 9, and I figured that was a little bit of a long time, and if you guys don't want me to talk for 45 minutes, we will pare it down, and she's going to actually be reading from a children's Bible for us. And we have pictures to go along, so you can pay attention.
Genesis 6 through 9. After Adam and Eve left the garden, many people were born. The people kept doing bad things, and they forgot about God. Except Noah. Noah loved God. God was sad that everyone but Noah forgot about him. He told Noah about his plan to start over. Make yourself an ark, God said. Here's how. So Noah and his family began working on the ark. When it was done, God said, take your family and two of every animal into the ark. Animals creeped, crawled, hopped, and galloped into Noah's new boat. After everyone was inside, the rain began to fall and fall and fall. The ark rocked this way and that way on the rising water. Finally, the rain stopped. Water covered everything. Everyone inside the ark was safe. Noah and his family were very happy. One day Noah sent a dove to find land. It flew and flew, but never found any. So it came back. 1 week later, Noah sent the dove out again. It brought him an olive leaf. Noah cheered. It must have found land. The ark finally came to rest on top of a mountain. God told Noah to leave the ark. Noah and his family praised God. God put a beautiful rainbow in the sky. It was a sign of his promise to never flood the whole earth again.
Thank you very much. What a good reader. I have a confession. I've done that a couple of times, and they're not always really good readers. But Andy, you killed it. Thank you. And God's word is so good, right? So I'm going to backtrack just a little bit and set the scene of what she just read. I'm a visual person, and I love when people tell me stories, and so that's going to be the basis of this morning. I just need to warn you. So for me, it is important to know, what kind of environment is Noah living in? What kind of environment is he building this giant boat in, okay? So they're in the Middle East, that's the first thing. So the desert, and they're building a boat. So that's number one, crazy. Number two, the people of Noah's time were 10 generations removed from Adam and Eve. For history buff, that's kind of cool. But with each generation, they had gotten more and more and more out of control. They had turned into people that were killing each other. They were breaking God's promises, his covenants, his creation. They were bad guys. And in the midst of that, that's when God comes to Noah and says, hey, I see you being faithful. I see you loving me. And I want to do something about it. And for me, when I think about a chaotic situation, I think of a middle school dodgeball game. Has anybody ever been to a middle school dodgeball game? Raise your hand. Yeah. We were youth pastors for 2 years, and I have forever scars from dodgeballs. So, yeah, those are dangerous. And, you know, you can always tell the sixth graders at the dodgeball game, or the seventh graders, depending on how your youth group breaks up. But, like, they're always the ones that come in and they're like, the last time I played this, they were four-year-olds. Like, I don't know what to do. And they usually huddle together and they stay towards the back in the one corner. Maybe this is just middle school girls. That was me. And I'm tall, so I was always pegged as, like, the one that got hit. And Noah walks into this dodgeball game as this kid. He's the sixth grader whose mom said, all right, son, you have no clue what you have signed up for. You better get ready. We're going to put a helmet on you. I want you bubble wrapped from head to toe. We got to protect you because you're going to die. And so Noah shows up to this dodgeball game. God has prepared Noah. He said, I am about to do something that's really crazy, that's never been done before, that doesn't make any sense. And I want you to do something. I want you to build a boat. I know you don't know what a boat is. I know you've never done this before. And I know you don't know what it's going to do, but I want you to build it anyways. And so, Noah prepared a boat in faith, not really knowing what he had signed up for. The next portion of the scripture goes on to talk about, I call it the IKEA blueprint part of the scripture. Anybody built an IKEA piece of furniture? I just built one at my house and it was ridiculous. We had parts like laid out everywhere and pieces of plastic underneath couches. It was crazy. But in Genesis 6, 14 through 16, I'm going to read that part because it is actually the blueprint, right? God says, I have it on the next slide, so make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. You ready to build your boat now? All of this, it's IKEA, remember? They always leave out something. I don't know, I mean, maybe you can skim through that. Is there anything about how to close the front door? And is there anything about how to drive this thing? I'm a visual learner, so like, this boat is huge. Picture this thing. It is 1.5 football fields long. And it's 2 school buses wide. That's a lot of elementary kids. And it's 4 stories tall. That's a big boat. Now, I will tell you, I looked up, I was trying to like surprise you guys and tell you how big this boat was and compare it to a cruise ship. Cruise ships are bigger. But for that time, you'd never seen a boat before. This is huge. And again, he builds this giant boat, and there's things that are missing. There's pieces that God hasn't told Noah how to do, how to build it, how to work it. So I picture a cruise ship. How many of you have been on cruises? Raise your hand. Yeah, they're nice. Oh, you guys are a port city too, so that's nice. Can you imagine with me, even those that have not been on a cruise, you can get into this imaginary world with me. Can you imagine you get on a boat, you get on this cruise, you've unpacked your suitcase, it's a 7-day cruise, you are on vacation mode, and you're so excited, you heard there's a super large slide on the roof that is like 2 stories tall and water, and you're so pumped, and that's the first thing you're going to try. And so you're putting your swimsuit on, and you're getting ready to go out, and you hear the captain comes on the loudspeaker, which is normal for a cruise sometimes. The first day, the captain gets on and explains things. And he says, "Howdy, folks. We are so glad you're here today with us. We cannot wait to spend these 7 days with you, cruising all over the Caribbean Sea and seeing beautiful waters and places and people. We are so excited you're here. We hope that you've had time to unpack your items and get ready. We have a water slide on the roof. We want you to go and have a great time. And by the way, if you notice just about 2 inches of water on the floor, don't worry about it. We haven't figured out how to close the door yet, but we were out of time to sit in the dock, so we went ahead and left, and there's a little bit of water, but we'll get it figured out. Don't you worry about it. And by the way, also, I know that you signed up for this 7-day cruise thinking you knew where we were going. I know the advertisement says we're hitting these 4 islands, and it's so fun. But we bought this cruise ship at IKEA, and they forgot the navigational system. It is just going to be a surprise week. Aren't you pumped? What? I'm not getting on that boat. You tell me I'm already standing in 2 inches of water and you don't know where we're going? What? Would you get on that boat? The kids in the service say yes. I love it. But you know who did get on that boat? Noah. Noah got on this ark that God gave him IKEA instructions. He got on it in faith because he believed that God had called him to this place. He had prepared him, and he would be faithful to follow through. It's pretty cool. At the end of the story of Noah, I'm sure you've heard this a million times. Again, this is, you are versed in this. I am not. At the end, everyone gets off the boat, and God, I'm skipping the flood. God says, "Noah, I am going to make a covenant with you. This covenant is going to look like a rainbow. It is my promise to you that I will not flood the earth And Noah and his family rejoice. And they continue with their life, actually. Scripture goes on to tell us that he planted a vineyard. There's this whole debacle with him getting drunk, and that's not good. And we're not going to talk about that this morning. But what I want to focus on is that they went back to normal. My dad's a farmer. Planting a vineyard is not easy. It's not something you just do for fun. And so, after this crazy experience, they just go back to life. And they move forward. And Noah's daughter-in-laws are on the boat, and so they have kids. And their kids have kids. And so on and so forth. And Noah is a great-grandfather, super great-grandfather, of Abraham, who is also the super great-grandfather of Jesus. And so when I think about this rainbow, this covenant that God has created with Noah, I don't know about you, but I know God's character, and I don't think it was just about not flooding the earth. I mean, I'm super thankful for that promise. I don't know about you, but I don't want to swim every day of my life. But I have to believe that this rainbow is more. That it is God's promise and evidence that he is faithful. Yeah. He told Noah, "No, if you love me, you will build this boat. If you're wanting to be obedient, if you want to step out in faith, you'll build this boat with me. I'm not going to give you all the end picture. I'm not going to give you the big picture. But I'm going to give you the pieces that you can handle. And once we finish that, I want you to get on there with a whole bunch of animals. Hope he didn't have allergies. And once you get on there, I want you to spend some time reflecting on what I have just done. I want you to seek me. And then at the end of this, I want you to be in relationship with me. And that relationship is going to cause you to worship. It's going to cause you to be in this relationship that is perfect love. Pretty cool. All the while that Noah is doing this journey, the Bible talks a lot about Noah in this story, but his sons were walking that journey with him. How many of you have kids? Grandkids. They are walking your journey with you, whether you realize it or not. Right? They're watching the things that you say and you do. They're watching God do things, move mountains in your life. They're watching you have joy or not. They are watching you have the fruits of the Spirit or not. And so, as Noah's walking through this story, and as God is being faithful in this story, Noah is creating this legacy that we do big things and God shows up. This legacy of faith, that we are obedient and God is faithful. So just to recap what we've covered, the story of Noah. Noah prepared that giant boat in faith, right? Remember the dodgeball kid? Noah got on the boat in faith with 2 inches of water around his ankles. And he created this legacy of faith because he was willing to step out in faith. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit. Leave that. AJ and I work in the Dominican Republic. It is an island in the Caribbean. A lot of people don't know where it is. You can switch to the next slide. And it's connected to Haiti. It's below Cuba. It's a $200 plane flight from here. And we have a city called Santo Domingo. That's where we live. And how many people do you think live there? 4 million people. Anybody get close to that? Raise your hand. I can't. You said three? All right. Nice. Awesome. I don't have a prize. Sorry. It's a big city. We love going to like little kid Sunday school classes, and we always ask them, where do you think we live? And they're like, in a hut. What? Do we have running water? No. Where do you think we go to the bathroom? Outside. No. Those are not true. I don't know if I could handle that. I'm a farm girl, but not that kind of farm girl. We have 4 million neighbors, and they're all wonderful. Our crime rate is less than Chicago. We're bigger than Chicago. And we have IKEA. We have a subway system. We have Papa John's pizza. And we also have Krispy Kreme donuts that has a hot light when it's hot. You can tell where I go often. It's a big city. I grew up in a really small town in Arkansas. I lost my accent. You can judge me later. This small town had two stoplights. Maybe more now. I don't know. But it's tiny in comparison. 8,000 people, and it's a farm town. Most of my friends' parents were farmers, and most of my friends became farmers. And I am now living in a city of 4 million. That is a drastic difference. I sit in traffic and think, oh, what's going on? And it isn't even because I'm driving. Now I go home to my parents' house, and I am driving, and I accidentally speed quite often because, oops. Is this recorded? Be careful. All right. So when I was young, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't grow up in a Christian church, an evangelical church. And I thought that maybe there was something about my life that didn't make sense. We call that prevenient grace now. I went to college not really knowing what Nazarene was, just trying to get away from small town life. And I found people that talked about this Jesus that was compassionate and forgiving and loving. And then their lives reflected that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever met somebody that says, I love Jesus, and then like their life doesn't reflect that? It leaves you feeling all icky inside and hollow. That's what we call holiness. This idea that the Holy Spirit comes in us and moves in us and changes our life. Right? It's really cool. That we aren't doing this journey by ourselves. That you, as a believer in Jesus, have the Holy Spirit to lean on. It's pretty cool. And so after college, I married this guy, and we decided we were going to be cool. We had a missions call. We were going to start a church in an apartment complex in Kansas City. It didn't work. You want to know why? Because I'm from a small town. That's one reason. We both kind of are. We had this small town mentality that we could meet our neighbors and they would like us. And we could start a small group. And you know what happened when we went to meet our neighbors? We baked fresh cookies and they literally slammed the door in our face. They didn't have time. They were busy. We were in a low-income apartment complex. They were busy climbing the corporate ladder. A lot of them had tiny little kids, and they were exhausted. I don't understand. I don't have kids. All of these things, these cultural differences, didn't make sense. And because of that, we were constantly clashing. So God moved us from that situation because we were not being obedient and trying to get to know our neighbors. We were trying to make them get to know us. That was a big lesson in my ministry. And after the apartment, we moved to Florida. We claimed Florida as home. We lived here for 2 years as youth pastors. The pastor called us and said, hey, we have a youth ministry position open. Would you like to come and serve? And we were like, yeah, we can do that, but there's a problem. And he was like, well, what's wrong? We don't really like teenagers. That's probably a prerequisite for youth ministry. But we did it anyways. We moved to Florida. And can I tell you, I, at this point in my life, can't imagine doing ministry without teenagers. I love their bluntness. I love their questions. I love their authenticity. They don't scare me. They know a lot of things about technology that I don't know about. And they talk in ways that I don't understand. Our teens at the seminary are constantly teaching me new slang words in English, and they speak Spanish. What? But it's cool. I love doing ministry with these young people. So how does my story fit with Noah? When I was young, I didn't really understand this relationship with God business. But the prevenient grace of God was with me and prepared me on this journey. Kept pushing me forward and moving me. And I was moving forward not even realizing it. But people in my life kept pointing me. They were helping me to prepare in faith. Isn't that cool? And then once I recognized this call to missions, this identity that God has placed upon me that says, you gotta give up everything. I stepped out and I said, that's really scary. But I've seen what you can do, and I know what you're doing, and I know you will be faithful to do what you have called me to do. And so I got on this journey in faith. And at this point in my life, I am focused on creating this legacy of faith, right? We talked about Noah and his boys, and they watched him, and it led to this Jesus, right? This faithfulness that we do hard things and God shows up. And so what does that look like for me? One, it includes the teenagers. I'm going to pull a teenager alongside of me every day. Because if they don't see me doing it, those boys spent like a month on the boat with Noah. But before that, they were watching him build it. I need these people in my life that I want to be strong, faithful people. I need them to see my life. And so I've got to bring them along. But then also, man, I live in this city now, and world statistics tell us that the world is moving to the cities. You guys have probably felt it. You're in Orlando. Have you seen apartment complexes just popping up? Have you seen small businesses going away? Have you seen traffic increase and roads be under construction for 25 years? You're feeling this statistic. You are a part of it. Your building is in the middle of it. These people are moving. But you want to know where most of our churches are located? Not in the city. We don't have people, places that are homes to those who are lost. We don't have places for people who are hurting and scared to find safety. Our churches are out in the boondocks, and our people that we want to reach don't have cars. That's crazy. And so I know that Dwayne talked to you guys last week, but I also know that a lot of you were missing. And I did my homework. Why didn't you do yours? I listened. I'm just teasing. But Dwayne talked about our job is that we are building a school, a training facility to train missionaries to go into the cities, to plant churches that don't look like brick and mortar buildings, because scripture tells us that church is a capital C, right? It's this body of believers. We are the church. And so these city churches look incredibly different than what we're used to. Just like I was not equipped to go meet my neighbor because I had my priorities out of whack, and I wasn't coming from a place of understanding. A lot of the times that's how our missionaries come to us. Very green, very rural. I can go meet my neighbor and we'll start a church and it's going to be great and I'm going to bake them cookies and we get to sit them down and say, that's not how it works. People can buy Jesus in the city. They don't need you to show him to them. And this school that we're building is a dream. It is a huge step of faith. It's this idea that we are going to build a building and get on board with this idea that the city needs missionaries, but we need other people to come alongside of us. And that's what you guys have agreed to do, which is, I can't thank you enough or praise God enough. I don't know if you were in the board meeting when you decided to be on this partnership. Maybe you are finding out about it right now. Congratulations. But this morning I've talked quite a bit about steps of faith. Noah took steps of faith. I took steps of faith. Our missionaries that are going to the Center of Missionary Formation are taking steps of faith. A lot of them are from small towns in Mexico that don't have funding for 2 years of missionary work. But they're doing it anyways. A lot of them are family-based people, and they're moving into a city that is super not. But they're doing it anyways. And so this morning, I want you to step out in faith. I gave you guys a spoiler alert a long time ago, so I'm just pulling it back out right now. Wake up your neighbor. I want you to be active participants in this partnership. I don't want your pastor to make the decisions. I want you to make the decisions. I want you to have a vision that says, the city is hurting. It is bleeding out, people. And we have to go. We have to be in the city. And so this morning, we have cards up here on the altars. This is going to be a time of chaos. Think middle school dodgeball game. But it's worth it. These three cards say three different things. There's different piles. They say pray. Someone once told me that all Christians should be able to pick up that card. Prayer's easy. But I'm not asking you for dinner table prayers or bedtime prayers or even Sunday morning prayers. I'm asking you for prayers that change the way you live your life. Prayers that cause you to stop and think, oh man, this is heavy. I've got to lay this down at the feet of the Lord. On the backside of the card are suggestions of how you can pray for the center of missionary formation, but also how you can pray for your neighbor that doesn't know the Lord. How you can pray for yourself to be bold and share your testimony. That is the most powerful tool God has given you. What he's done in your life. Then we next have the give card. I was on a flight this past week, and it was actually October 31st. That's important. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October. I'm sure many of you know that. And the stewardess, couldn't think of the name, the stewardess announced as we got on the plane, she was decked out in pink from head to toe, and she announced in a really funny manner, we are raising money for breast cancer, the institution, the research center, and we want you guys to partner with us. We have a long-standing relationship with this breast cancer research facility, and we believe in the women that it has impacted. We have seen this research center change lives, save people. And we today, our goal is $500. And if we reach that $500 goal, the captain has agreed to wear a big, giant pink boa and a hat and sunglasses, and you can take your picture with him at the end of the flight. And I sat there, and I thought, man, how do I get her to work for the church? We reached our goal of, we got $501 on that flight. On a flight, 45 minutes. People didn't get on that flight thinking they were going to give money. They just did it. I overheard the stewardess at the end, and she said, yeah, this is our third flight this morning, and on every flight we got $500. And yesterday we had two flights of over $2,000. I don't know if you can add that fast. I can't. But that's a lot of money really fast for people that didn't know they were going to be giving as they boarded the flight, right? It's not like she sent out a flyer weeks in advance and said, hey, we're getting to this goal and we want you to partner, pray about it, and get on board. Like, she was just, hey, spontaneous giving, let's go. Church, that should be a wake-up call. I can stand up here, I'm a missionary, and you can be mad at me. I was telling our host this morning, I get the privilege of standing up here and talking about your finances and not feeling weird about it. Your finances demonstrate where your priorities are, whether you believe that or not. I'm telling you fact. And part of your responsibility as a member of this local congregation, whether you wear the official membership tag or not, is to give your weekly tithe, right? That's your responsibility. That's where you say, I believe in what this congregation is doing in our community, in our neighborhood, in our city. I believe in that. If you come in here every week, you believe in this place. You wouldn't be here otherwise, right? That's logical. And so, why is it so hard for us to think that giving above that is this huge act of we need recognition and people need to know our name? That's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to give generously with an open hand and an open mind and an open heart. Right? And so these cards this morning are not your tithe. If you are going to dip into your tithe to partner with us in giving, I don't want you to take a give card. This is a challenge for you to say, God, we don't have the finances for this. We have this student loan to pay off this month. We have the X, Y, and Z. Susie needs new braces. Whatever the case may be. God, we do not have money to partner with this giant center in the Dominican Republic. That is a step of faith. Totally what we've been talking about, in case you were sleeping. My last card up here says, go. You guys have two opportunities to come on a trip to the Dominican Republic. Super cool place, in case you've never been there, if I do say so myself. There are cards in your seats, and you can mark if you want to go on a trip. Maybe you've never been on an airplane before. I have a team leader that's coming next year that's never been on an airplane, and she's going international. That's a big step of faith. She emails me weekly, just pray for me, I'm so nervous. I'm like, you're the team leader, you gotta like get other people on board, calm down. Or maybe it looks like going to your neighbor that you know isn't a Christ follower, and you've been avoiding them for the 18 years that they've lived next door to you. That one's a little harder, right? Because you got to see them more than once. But I would challenge you to think hard about that go. I don't believe in a gospel that allows for us to just come in here and sit in our seats. Jesus just didn't go to the synagogue and sit around and talk to people. He physically moved. He walked a lot. That guy had a large Fitbit. But he did something. It caused action. We believe in faith that is a verb. And so what I want to happen this morning are these cards are laid up here. This is not the end of the service, so don't leave. We're going to play a song. It's pretty upbeat and loud, and that's the point. We're celebrating that God is faithful. And as that music plays, I want you to stand up. Maybe you do it in family groups. Your kids are in here. Talk to them about what you're doing. Maybe it's you individually. Maybe the Lord is working on you. Let it happen. It's good stuff. I want you to get up and I want you to come forward. And don't just grab all three cards because the missionary's up here and making you feel guilty. That doesn't make me feel any better. What I need from you is if God is saying, Chelsea, I need you to pray with me for the salvation of this city. I want you to grab a prayer card. Maybe your name's not Chelsea. Or maybe it's a give. Maybe your finances are super tight and this is not the year to be given extra. Maybe the Lord's talking to you. Maybe you have extra and you're looking for a place to give it. My prayer is that you would pick up the cards that are related to you. You do not have to pick up all three. You can pick up one. You can pick up two. You can pick up a half of one if you want to share it with your neighbor. Just kidding. That wouldn't work. But I hope and I pray that you have experienced the Holy Spirit this morning. We have prayed over this message a lot. And so I have to believe that if I've prayed about it, the Holy Spirit is here. Right here. Right there. And when the Holy Spirit is here, it demands action, people. We got to do something about it. And so we're going to play the music. Feel free to stand up, get your card, and then have a seat. We're going to end with prayer and explaining what this is. So go ahead with the music. I pray that the cards that you have picked up this morning, you put them somewhere where you will see them often. Maybe your bedroom mirror or dresser or in your car on the visor or in your Bible. Somewhere that's going to remind you, hey, God is faithful, and he's asked me to pray in faith, so I'm going to do it. Or, hey, maybe you have a place where you do your monthly budget for your finances. Put that give card there. Or go. Every time you go to Starbucks, remember that you're saving for a mission trip. This morning, if you didn't notice, you are blind, but AJ has been painting as I've been talking your ear off. And isn't this beautiful? Isn't my husband talented? In case you can't tell what it is, it's the city. It's not any specific city, so don't get caught up in that. There's buildings from all of different cities. And it's painted with a rainbow. And do you remember us talking about that rainbow isn't a sign that God's not going to flood the city? It's that he's faithful. God is going to get to the people that are in these buildings, in this community, because he is faithful. Because he has said, I want all of these people to be in relationship with me. And if we're willing to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to give to this cause. Or I'm actually going to go into the city. Maybe the Lord's asking you to move. Ooh, that one's tough. But God is faithful. Amen? And so we're going to leave this with you. And I hope that every time you see it, you're reminded that God has been faithful in your life and he will continue to be faithful in your life. And that as a believer, you have some homework to do to experience this faithfulness. And I actually am pulling it from the song that we sang together this morning. I don't know if you were paying attention to the lyrics, but man, did they get me. It's from the first song. It said, all your ways are good. I'm not going to sing it. You don't want that. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. That one's hard. There are some really unlovable people in this world that God loves. How you serve, I'll serve. If I lose my life, I'll still follow you. That's my prayer for you this morning. That as you go about your day, you will have the eyes of Jesus and you will see people. You'll have hands that desire to serve his kingdom. And that you'll be willing to lose your life for this thing we call love and grace and goodness. It's a big, tall order. But I believe that God is faithful. And so if we say yes, he will bring us through it. AJ is going to close us in prayer.
You have an opportunity to be a part of something great, something big. God is moving. The Holy Spirit is moving. And he wants to use you. Don't resist him. Don't fight him. Because if you go with him, you'll have so much more peace and so much more joy. So let's go. Let's go with him. In prayer and giving and actually going. God, you are awesome. You are amazing. We love you so much. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. Thank you for using us, your church, as your hands and feet. God, I pray that you would use Orlando Center Point as your vessel in the city of Orlando, in Florida, in the U.S., and around the world. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in them and through them. to impact everyone they come in contact with for your kingdom. May your kingdom come. God, we praise you. We give you thanks. We give you our lives. We give you ourselves. God, may we pray without ceasing. May we pray in the bad times, in the difficult times, as well as in the good times. May we give generously. Make us uncomfortable with our finances until we are giving generously. God, may you use our money for your kingdom. May we go where you have called us to go, whether that's across the street or around the world. May we be bold enough to step out in faith. God, give us your spirit. Give us the words to say. And give us peace beyond understanding. In your name I pray. Amen.